So I'm here with Professor Christian. Hello.
It's November 29th.
Yeah. Oh, yes.
At 12:30 p.m.
Mm-hmm. 2022.
Yeah, I always want
to
do that.
Okay, so I'm with Christian. He's a professor in the classics department. How long have you been here?
This is my 16th year.
Gotcha.
At Pomona.
So how did you find out about the drawer with the sherds in it?
Okay, so when I got to Pomona in 2007, we were in Cruikshank Hall, third floor. We had a smaller library room that had all kinds of stuff piled up in it. The books were along the walls, they were piled up, you know, the table in the Harry Potter room,
Two.
That was in there, and it was in the middle of the room. And I imagine it was there. I didn't know about the sherds until we moved here the next year. So in fall 2008, we moved over here. So everything got moved.
Mm-hmm.
So in the storeroom was that file cabinet. And I think Richard said, oh, here's this stuff, including the slides. There's a lot of, you know, their photographs are on slides that you can use to be able to project.
Yeah.
And the shirt. Now, I didn't give him a second thought because I'm not interested in pot sherds at all. Of course, I knew about the ethics of that sort of stuff, but I guess it didn't even occur to me that that was a bad thing to have around, you know, that Harry had just picked this stuff up. In fact, I didn't even know. Richard McCurahan is the only person still around who has living memory of Harry Carroll. I don't know that he even mentioned anything about it. Steve Lassett Pitzer, who was kind of an archaeologist, is still alive. He might be another person to ask, but I don't know if he knew that Harry had these things or not. I'm guessing it was probably pretty common if you went over to Greece all the time and you were a scholar and you were allowed on these sites, probably just pick stuff up and stuck in your pocket. And, you know, just the imperialist privileged way, I suppose. But that's how I saw them first. And then we put them in the drawer. We brought them out one other time when we had a visiting archaeologist, I want to say it's Scripps, who was like more of a scientific archaeologist, and she just wanted to have a look. And she didn't mention anything about the ethics. She's like, oh, yeah, it's Mycenae and blah, blah. I think she might have taken him to her class and then put him back.
So, Harry Carroll, you said you never met him, but he's had an impression on the department. Things are still named after him. What do you think, like, his impact has been?
Yeah, so Harry died when I was 10 years old, so I did not know him. He was the one who became the sole classicist in a series of only a few after the original, basically the first faculty member at Pomona was Norton, who was the president, but also because that's the only subject that was taught. And then Harry became the Norton professor. There had obviously been some in between, but he was the only guy in the department, and he was the guy who evidently brought it back. This is what his eulogy says by some other faculty member that I don't know either. But then Harry was the sole classist, and there was a guy at Scripps for a long time. And then he hired Richard McCurahan into the joint philosophy classics position that he is now. So they held the fort for a really long time until the enrollments expanded and they got some visitors. And there were a bunch of visitors until my position was finally approved. After Harry died, several people held that historian position, but none stuck until Keim. We had several people. Harry's impact has been on sort of the shape of the department through hiring, through Richard, and then I guess it's almost like a coaching tree, the people that Richard hired, including me, Keim, and so on. But also, more prominently in the funding. So as liberal arts departments go, we're pretty wealthy. A lot of money for a lot of things, and you've probably noticed that if you need something, we can usually pull it off. There's certain restrictions on this, but there's two main funds, both named in his honor. Mm-hmm. One was funded by his students, the alumni who made this large gift, and that largely funds the speakers and things associated with speakers, their travel, accommodations, and so on. The other is his own estate that his wife, who survived him by a little bit, established, the Harry and Olive Fund. And so that's everywhere. And so you find physically his name and all the books that are bought through those funds in this, when speakers come, the little spiel that we give, you know, that's effectively required for that sort of thing. But more generally in like all the stuff that we're able to do when we're going to Getty Night, that's being funded by them, right? That kind of stuff.
And in your ideal world, what would happen to the shirts?
I guess they should probably go back, or at least be registered in whatever way. Like, I'm not even sure they want them back, but, like, you know, the kind of thing that's what should happen. I've never used them as a teaching tool, so I don't think I would miss them. Again, because that's not my area of expertise. But yeah, I don't know.
Okay, thank you.
Uh-huh.